This episode is dedicated to women who have shaped the fashion industry in South Africa. We normally give praise to fashion designers, but tend to forget about the stylists who, in my view, are just as powerful in shaping culture. Today, I'm in conversation with Chloe Andrea Felhamud. She's a stylist, costume designer, and also does production. I can only hope that I've done this interview justice. First of all, I was too excited because I'm a huge fan of her work, and I was so honored that she agreed to chat to me. But truly, at the core of the interview, after I've recorded the interview, it made me reflect about the stylists who have shaped the industry. It made me reflect about growing up and wanting to become a stylist. It made me reflect about while I was working as a stylist, how I came up into the industry and some of the work that I used to use as reference and as inspiration. And then I eventually made it fashion editor, and these people became my colleagues, my peers, and just trying to, you know, all of us have that humanly thing in us about wanting to match up or wanting your work also to be seen. And these were the women in my head that were leading that pack. So I give honor to the most talented stylists that are in our magazines, on our TV. Like if you were in South Africa right now, if you were to grab a magazine, a magazine about, you know, like 5 years ago or 3 years ago or 10 years ago, chances are these women are the ones who have created those amazing images, music videos, ads. They were leading the pack. Super, super, super talented. And so Chloe, I feel like she took it to the next level. So much so that she showcased the importance of storytelling. If someone were to ask, say, in, I don't know, 1990 or 2000, and they asked the question of how would styling look like in 2021, Chloe is that girl. Styling would look like, or should be looking like, exactly how Chloe styles. The importance of storytelling. She showcases how styling needs to look like today. Styling with a soul, styling with texture, styling with just elements of history, styling with elements of how pop culture interprets what's cool and what's not. I was saying in the interview, I was saying to her that I think that her imagery should be used as a reference for students who are studying styling in universities. That's exactly what they should be aiming for. That's exactly what they should be striving for. Just styling with a soul. Literally styling with a soul. She shows us that styling is not just about fashion. Styling is not just about playing around with clothes. It's just so much more than that. So much more than that. And so I feel like she took her work to the international stage with so much soul and so much, such a strong voice of what we're doing here, you know? And I think I was saying to her, she took what I used to think of styling in my mind. She brought it to life. Like, I feel like her work is the kind of images that, as you're working hard as a stylist and styling and getting frustrated and shoots not coming through or production being late and all those things, I feel like this is what we strive for. It may not necessarily be exactly how she styles, but I think just the level of when someone looks at the work, they're like, wow,
wow, and not wow from a materialistic point of view, but wow from a point of view of who styles like this? Like, what was she thinking? Like, where did she even get this stuff? Like, how does she even get to, you know, formulate the set, the model, and what kind of conversations is she having with the photographer? Forget the photographer. What kind of conversations is she having with the designer, you know? And so I feel like that's how she took it to the next level. And that's why I was so excited. I think my excitement will explain itself. I was just way too excited because I was just like, I'm dying. I was dying to speak to her. So it was, this interview was such a spoil for me. I am honored and thankful that we had this conversation. So I don't want to spoil it for you. I don't want to spoil it for you. Here's my conversation with Chloe, and I will see you on the other side. Oh my gosh, Chloe, you do not understand. I was just saying to on my stories now that how I'm absolutely going to fan out because I am such a fan. Like, I was just like, let me just try and be calm. Let me just, you know, but I don't know if it's working. So we had a red carpet for you, literally pulled out on Friday. Was it Friday when we were supposed to speak? And we couldn't do it. So literally, like, oh my gosh, how are you?
I'm okay. I feel like it's been a bit of a crazy time for everyone. So I don't really know how I am. I don't think any of us really know how we are. I think I just feel like incredibly grateful for my family in this time and for everybody's health, because I've just heard of so many people passing from COVID, like people you would never expect.
Yes.
So yeah, I think we're all just trying to find a little bit of joy in this life in whatever way we can. And we're all just trying to keep on keeping on. Yeah. And that's all we can do, really, you know?
Yeah, it's just been so, I mean, I think it's unnatural, you know? It's just so unnatural. And all of us who are still able to even sit and talk, we should just, you know, count our blessings every day, because you just don't know, you know? You just don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I think we're literally living in that time where you just don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And condolences. I know you said you also have lost a family member. So condolences on that. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, no. I mean, Chem, it's been tough for everyone. I think everyone's... A lot of people I know have unexpectedly lost someone that they cared about, you know? So... And some people young, you know? So... No, it's terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. But let's talk about positive things.
Oh my gosh, Chloe. You don't understand.
I have a lot of questions.
No, I don't even have... Like, I was preparing for the interview on Friday. And, oh, sorry. I have to record this. I'm just too excited.
Recording in progress.
I was preparing for the interview on Friday, because I normally what I do is that I'll have like a back-to-back interview so that it's just like it's done. And when I came to you, I was just like, it's actually my interview. I don't think it's anybody's interview. I don't think anybody wants to hear, but they probably do. But it's more for my selfish reasons, because I've just been so obsessed with your work. And I thought I just wanted to just have a conversation with her, because I wish I was you when I started styling. Do you know what I mean? Like, my journey in styling has literally been like me teaching myself and finding myself and all the loops in terms of where I have, you know, I've reached and like at this point. But I was curious to know about your journey in terms of when you were at school, did you know that you wanted to do styling? And then going to university, and then like step by step, because I'm fascinated by people like you. I just think you are just so talented.
Thank you so much. That's so sweet. It's a wild tale of sorts. I you know, it's so funny. Literally on the weekend, I showed my a friend of mine a book I'd made for all my friends in matric. It was like the journey of our 5 years together, and it literally has like the most ridiculous things in it, like memories, party invites, love letters, you know, stories about boys, and it's kind of amazing. And one of the things in the book was what we want to be in the next 10 years, you know. And my little blurb was, I want to be a fashion designer with models from all around the world wearing my clothes, you know? And I didn't really know at that time what fashion, what different areas in fashion I could enter into. I was just like, oh, it's one big amalgamation of things. And I just used to put pictures of supermodels from magazines, glossy magazines on my walls, and like be obsessed with these shoots. And I didn't understand why. I didn't understand, oh, it's actually the styling that I love, the image making that I love. I just thought it was like, okay, I have to be a fashion designer, you know, to make it big. So I actually started my own label after I went to London and just messed about and couldn't get a job in fashion at all, because all I had was like bartending experience. been a trick. And yeah, I just decided, let me start this little label. I came back to South Africa. I got on the phone with a big manufacturer from Mr. Price, and he was actually like, you've got no idea what you're doing. You need to be mentored. Like, this is a hopeless cause. And he was brutal to me. He didn't know me from a bar of soap. And it actually hit me, and I was like, shit, he's right. You know, I know nothing. Anyways, I studied at Vega, advertising. I never really fit in the mold. I didn't really understand where I needed to go. My lecturers were always like, oh, she's the last course. I actually landed up doing my final presentation. I made like a whole collection. It's all very conceptual. And then I designed the packaging for it and stuff like that. But it was just, you know, I was always fighting because I didn't really know what I needed to do. And then I met Crystal Birch. And it was literally, we were dating two friends. We met over a drink in Long Street, I think it was. I met this woman and I was just like, I don't know who you are or where you come from, what planet, but I am obsessed with you. And she was like, oh, I'm a stylist and I'm shooting with Kristen Norman tomorrow. Do you want to come? And I was like, yes, I want to come. I walked on that set. I took one step. There was clothing everywhere. Oh. Everything was beautifully laid out. We were shooting the most gorgeous boy I think I'd ever seen in my life. And there was just creativity embodying. The whole room was an embodiment of creativity. And I just thought to myself, what do you mean I can get clothes from designers and put them on a model and create an image?
Gosh.
Like, from my head. So it felt like a dream. I just knew from that day, this is what I wanted to do. Yeah. You know, I just knew. And I was young. I mean, I was like, what? Gosh, I can't even go back that far now, but like 21, 22, somewhere around there. And then I was like, cool, this is it. I found every big stylist in the country I could track down. And I was like, can I assist you? What can I do? I went to Boss Models. I got myself accounts, Mr. Price, Woolworths, Truworths, because I had no money. And I was just like, right, Boss Models, give me all your young models. I'm going to do all your tests for free. And normally they would pay you for tests, like 800 rand. So that was my mission. And I just pushed here, like push, shot every weekend with whoever I could. And it all sort of happened really quickly. I think people were pissed off because I existed for a very short time and I just started working. But I was so, I found what I wanted to do and I just knew it and I just had to go for it. And then I think all my tests were kind of going online and people were seeing it, and I got spotted by Justin Polky and Jarvez, and they literally started my career, you know. I think my first job was advertorial for Absolute Vodka. In Cosmopolitan magazine, and I got Gavin Rajan, all these amazing designers, because I was living in Cape Town at the time. And I just remember at the end of the shoot I got a standing ovation from the models and the photographer and everyone, and I just thought like,
what's going on?
So I mean, that's a sort of big, like, a very quick summary of how I started.
No, you know, it's so interesting. And I don't know why that is the case. And I mean, we'll talk about what should be done, because that's exactly my journey. Like, exactly, you know, I there was a time in my life where I lived in London. When I got to London, I thought, I just need to do styling. That's what I want to do. But it wasn't like exactly like you. I think most students think fashion design. We don't know anything about styling. You know, like, we just think, okay, maybe I want to be a fashion designer, but I want to do something. It needs to be something with, like, that involves clothes. You just can't like pinpoint it until you're exposed to it. It's like, oh, it's actually styling, and you don't even know there's such a thing called styling. So I
And then I send an email to a few stylists, exactly the same thing, to try and request to assist on set. And I still remember my first day, the stylist, she was doing catalogs, you know. So she invited me. She's like, yeah, sure, you can come and assist. And you know, catalogs, they shoot like the whole day. It's like a whole lot of clothes. Like, that's like a lot of work. So didn't know anything. Went in there blindsided. Literally went in there. There was just boxes and boxes of clothing. But what amazed me was the fact that these people are in a studio. They're playing music. And there's a photographer, there's a stylist, and there's food. And this is what we're going to do the whole day. We're just going to play around with clothes and shoot. And then you get paid for it. Like, how does that even work? You know? Like, it was most amazing thing. And since then, like you, never looked back. I was like, that's it. Like, that's what I want to do, you know? But I'm very curious to know, like, then what should be done? Like, because I think that's how most stylists find their course. Is it because we don't have a lot of styling courses that actually show people in practice what needs to happen? Or is it because people still think fashion is all only when you do fashion design?
I definitely think there's not enough mentoring, like, first off. Like, the one thing I really pride myself on is, like, a lot of, like, emails or requests from people that just want to learn or have never been on set before. And I always take them on. And I think what happens a lot is I find people are always incredibly surprised how unglamorous our job is.
Yes.
Because it's actually all about logistics, organization, time management. There's a big creative part, but, like, you've got to be good at money management too. You've got to be good at all these things. And people don't understand. It comes with the same territory like any job does, with pros and cons.
Yeah.
And there are things that you have to know. And it's not all about the hype with your little phone and Instagram. Like, nobody really even cares.
Nobody cares.
This is the thing. Like,
yes.
Your social media is there to add value to what you currently have. But you need to have a good foundation.
Yeah.
So this is my thing. It's like, I know styling courses have, you know, slowly opened up. Like, I know you can do one at Fidisa. I'm not exactly sure what Lysoff has, but I'm pretty sure there is something.
They have something.
I think that, you know, if I look at, like, when I wanted to get into fashion design and I was looking at all the places I could study, you know, there was a diploma. There was no actual 3-year degree in fashion design at the time. I think we are still developing in a lot of ways, especially in the fashion industry. I mean, we've just lost so many of our magazines, you know, which was a big platform for a lot of people creatively. But then I guess you see a lot of up and coming sort of younger people starting these little, you know, small magazines or little things. Or I think it's a very important question to ask. And I think it definitely needs attention.
Yeah,
I think more mentoring, and I think it literally starts with people like you and me, and it's just about taking people on. A lot of stylists I know do, you know, I'll give a big shout out to Bea Diamondhead for that, because she really does mentor. It's one of her big things. And it's important. You have to try and teach people, you know, because either you can see if someone's got it, if they can handle the pressure and they can be organized. Because it's not glamorous.
It's not glamorous. It's not. It's the most exhausting job in the world. Like, you are just finished. Like, it's so... I used to literally, when I was at True Love, I used to have such backaches. It was just so... But so exhausting, but so exciting. Like, when you're on set, you're just let's just do this. But by the time you get into your car and you're packed and you're driving home, you know, it's just... You're done. You have this high of, wow, that was a good shoot, or that was such a bad shoot, like, what went wrong? But you're just, either way, you're just satisfied, you know?
Yeah, no, it's true. I think, just more mentoring. You know, I think more awareness around where you can study. You know, I think there are people that are trying to push this.
Yeah.
And I think it's probably, maybe after this interview, we can just put up, like, a list of places to go, people to learn from. I mean, like, maybe that's a great idea.
I think so. I really think so, because I feel so bad for everyone else who were like us,
just trying to figure out what they want to do, and they're sitting there in a corner trying to figure it out. And now it's even worse, like you say, you know, magazines are gone. At least you would have been able to find it through a magazine. It's just must be such a difficult time. I'm just sometimes I wonder, like, what's ever gonna happen to styling, you know? But it's just such an important part of fashion that it cannot die, you know.
You know, the only thing I will say, and I think this is really important, is like, so I've always wanted to work with international magazines like Dazed and Love and, you know, any of the greats, really. Mm. And I've always wanted to work with luxury brands. But I don't really have access to many here.
Mm.
But what I did was, like, I found a love for South African designers that I can see are bridging international borders and are as passionate about South Africa as I am.
Yeah.
So, like, working with Tebe, for example, has been amazing. Or just working alongside Rich, Misi, or Wanda Lafonta, or, like, there's so many I can name, you know. Even these young designers coming out of, like, Cosmo City and Katlehong, like, it's so exciting to me because there's so much talent here. There's so much drive and so much passion. I feel like we can, especially because the world's changed, and now even more with COVID, we can bridge the borders between international and here much more simpler. So actually, whereas there's less opportunity in local magazines, I feel like there's more in international. We can now reach online platforms we never had access to. So in fact, if you want to do something and you really want to get out there, there are ways to do it.
Yeah,
you just got to be hungry.
I agree. Wow. Yeah, we could talk about that forever. It's just, you know, it just baffles me. Like, every time it pains me, like, oh, is it, do we need more schools, or we need more, like, you know, a different kind of college setup, or do we need, but we can, I mean, we could go on forever. Let's talk about, on your bio, you have costume, like, costume styling. Why, like, and I think you are, like, the queen of costume styling. Like, literally. Like, I think what they teach in school, you've literally taken it to the next level. So let's talk about your love for costume. And because I think if I were to, and I'm comparing my journey with yours, because I'm just so fascinated by yours, because I look at your work and I think, wow, like, I wonder what is it that I needed to learn to have, like, this much talent. Or I want, you know, like, just to style how you style and just to have your eye and your brain, you know. And I think that costume brings a different layer to styling.
Yeah, no, it definitely does. Look, I think one of my big references are Aiko Ishioka, because she is a production designer and costume designer. And, you know, she did the costume design for Bram Stoker's Dracula and The Cell. And she really believes that a costume and a set are part of the same world. Mm. So what you do is that you build a world, right? And I guess that's what I love. It's like, let's tell a story. Let's, like, dig deep into what we're talking about.
Mm.
And let's, you know, let's expand on that. And I guess in a way it becomes costuming because there's research behind it. You know, like when I worked with Wanda Lefoto, like, we had such interesting conversations, and they're really hard conversations to have. It's like, how did colonization actually affect South African fashion?
Yeah.
Like, you know, why do the ZCC guys wear the old naval hats? You know, where, you know, those taxi driver shoes, like, why, when did they come about, you know? So I'm actually, I've got Scottish heritage, and those old, like, poor boy hats with the pom-poms on them. Why do the guy, like, why do checks and tartan mean something totally different here, you know? Why, and how did they become part of that culture? You know what I mean? I think those are such interesting things, and it's such a sensitive topic because we're talking about colonization here, which is, you know, like, morally the most terrible thing
that could ever happen. Yeah,
but literally, but then finding some weird sense of beauty in it, like, how did people react to this terrible thing? What sort of sense of honor did they find in this whole mess? Or influence, you know? And I think those are such interesting things to talk about. And if, you know, fashion is not just, like, to me, putting a thing on someone and making it look rad. Especially for South Africans, I think there's so much heritage here.
Yeah.
You know, I think I felt maybe isolated from it for a long time because I tried to connect with my culture and I was like, oh, it's difficult for me. I'm not there. I don't feel like those people. You know, so learning more about what we have here is just so interesting. And I think there's such a responsibility on young Black people to tell their stories and put things out there and show the world, because there is no place like Johannesburg on this planet.
There isn't.
Nothing.
It's just the coolest
thing. So I just am a sponge.
Yeah, no. You know? It really is. I mean, you put Johannesburg, you do put it amongst like the biggest interesting eclectic cities, like New York and Johannesburg. Like there's just so they hold to, you know, Joburg can hold its own.
They do.
You know? Because it's so eclectic. It's just so the energy is different, you know?
I actually want to give a shout out. So I found this Instagram account called Londoners in London. Parisians in Paris, Copenhagen, whatever. So I thought, you know, I'm going to start a South Africans in South Africa. And I started it. I have not posted anything yet.
You should. After this, you should, because we're stealing the idea. After this, you should. You literally should.
So I've started it. You can go follow it. I haven't posted anything yet. But the point is that we all... anyone can send me pictures. It's got to be completely spontaneous of someone you've seen in South Africa that has a style that you just resonate with. I think it's a great platform for us all to connect and start loving what we see every day, because we see so much. You know, like there's an image I posted on my social media, on my Chloe Andrew Velkman account, and it was just a gogo, and it was called Gogo of Dreams. And there was this gogo wearing like her Ankara wax print. And she had on like these bright green Nike sneakers and like a yellow beret. And it was perfect. And everybody knows that gogo, you know? And to me, it's the most inspiring thing. Like, I put that into my work. And I think it's great. I think it's a great platform, and we should all start pushing each other to use it more. I was actually going to keep it anonymous, but I thought, you know what, let's just do it.
It's just inspiring. It's just so inspiring. And when you see things like that, you're like, oh, actually it's like a Joburg account. It's even more inspiring, you know?
Yeah.
So let's talk about how you met Thebe and you started working with Thebe, because I think that's the beauty about life, right? Like people start being exposed to you through that work, but when they start peeling layers and layers and seeing that no, actually, like, she's been at it for years, you know, like it's not just like this, you know, body of work, even though it's like the most incredible thing. And I think you're literally living the best life. You've literally hit that just that mark where you go home and you're like, wow, like, wow, you know.
You know, I will say, the one thing I do want to say is, like, I still don't feel like I've done enough. I still feel like I need to challenge myself more. You know, I think that's part of growth. And I think when you stop growing, then there's nothing left, you know. I met Thebe. When did I meet Thebe? I mean, we've kind of known each other for a while.
True,
I think what really happened was lockdown hit. And I've been in a creative funk for a while. I think just, like, making money and putting my head down. And then I think when lockdown hit, I had like a total like creative breakdown where I was like, I watched this little documentary with John Baldessari, and he said three things about success. He said, talent is cheap. You've got to be in the right place at the right time. And you've got to be possessed, which you can't will. And when I heard those three things, I thought, you've got to be possessed. Talent is cheap. We're all talented in some way. Yeah. Some people are good at math. Some people are good at, you know.
Exactly.
Color theory. And I think that was it for me. I was like, I need to explore what's under my skin. I have to. I have to explore who I am and not be afraid, because fear is the biggest, like, I mean, fear just messes up everything. And I was like, cool, I'm going to go for it. And I just went. I did like an animation in a month with my friend. I don't even know how. I did animation a long time ago. And I just started shooting. And I think that's when Thebe was like, oh, here's Chloe. You know, and that was only like a year and a half ago, because I was in a funk, like a lot of people get, you know, when you're just making money and you're kind of carrying on.
Yeah, it's just day to day.
I mean, so I've built in my mind this body of work in a year and a half. and I feel like I'm only getting started. So meeting Thebe and sort of connecting with him, because we did a little bit on counterintelligence, but it wasn't a big collab. you know, I think the main one was the last, not this SS22 collection, mm. but the last one, the whole you know, fight scene to the death, and yes. the gag, the girl gags, and you know, that took 2 months of my life, and I spent almost every day with Tebe. And it was just, it was Midnight Angel, sorry, my, I don't know why my brain froze there. And we spent so much time together, and I think we just became friends, actually. And it was really weird, because I always have very strange ideas. And I think at first Tebe was afraid of them. He was like, I don't understand this. And then we kind of like hashed it out. And then eventually he wrote me the most beautiful message. And he was like, I didn't realize how progressive you were, because I hated some of the ideas at the time, but now they're integral parts of the collection. So in this weird way, and it's always been a fear of mine, like, how do I make people understand what I'm seeing, like, straight off the bat, you know? How do I make people feel comfortable? And it's really hard, yeah. you know, to let people see what you're seeing all the time. And we just found trust. And I think trust on set is the most important thing. If you trust your crew and you're comfortable with your yeah. crew, you can create beautiful images without inhibitions or without the fear of speaking freely. Yes. Because you have to.
You can't put, you know, fear into
to,
it.
To create yeah. good work.
Yeah.
You can't.
You can't.
So, like, between Chris and Tebe and me, there was a lot of brutal, brutal energy. Just being like, slash this, add this, go there. No, I don't like that. Oh, but I like this. And I think that's, like, true creation and true honesty, you know?
Beautiful.
And Tebe and I mean, our trip to Italy was just fab. We ate so much pasta. I can't believe how much pasta we ate.
As you should.
Because, you know, it was fantastic. But I think that also really solidified things, because we just, it's become very easy. And, you know, I love his work so much. And
he's so talented.
He puts so much thought and context into his collections that I learn so much from him every time.
He's a brain. Like, he literally has another world, just like you. And literally, in his mind, there are other things going on.
No, another world, you know. And it's crazy. And I think the one thing I do want to say to anyone that's listening, like, you know, it's hard to be stuck at the bottom of the world, you know, in this, like, the southernmost tip of Africa almost. And you think to yourself, like, how do I get there? Like, how do I get people in New York and London and Milan, the big fashion cities, to see me? Like, you know, and the thing is, even when you go over there and you're backstage and you're working on this thing, we are a resilient people. Yeah. We are resourceful. We work hard because we have a lot of challenges, you know, socially, economically, there's so many things. And I think because of that, it's actually such a gift. It's such a blessing.
Yeah.
You know, like, we have to use that.
Yeah.
And we have to use it together, because the more we work together, the more people start seeing South Africa.
Mm.
They start seeing, oh, another of the image, you know, South African. That's cool.
Yeah.
Go Lakanya, you know. These are big steps. And I think the more we support each other, the better we'll be. So, any South African designer can come to me tomorrow and I will always do the work. Yeah. Always, always, always.
Yeah.
Because together we can bridge the gaps between overseas and South Africa. I really believe that.
No, fully, fully agree. Like, it's just so possible. We're just as talented. You know, I have a friend in Dubai who is a lecturer at, I think, Dubai College or something. And she was saying that, you know, she's just, every time she thinks she's South African, like, every time she just, whenever she meets students or whatever, she's just reminded of how talented South African students are in terms of the ones who are studying design and everything. And she was just like, she wishes that we knew that, you know, because the work that she sees overseas and versus what she's seen at home, it's like, it's just as good, if not even better, you know. But I guess it's just that thing that we need to, like, I don't know, like, back each other up with it and tell each other and remind each other, you know, so that we know, you know. Yeah,
no, it's true. It's,
oh my
true.
God, Chloe, like, thank you.
And that was Chloe. I hope you were fascinated with her just as much as I am. I think I'll forever be fascinated. Fanning. Love. But before I conclude this episode, I wanted to, with that backdrop in mind, I wanted to give honor to the stylists that I was talking about earlier in the introduction, the stylists who have shaped the industry, who, you know, their imagery will forever be with us, and the upcoming stylists who want to have reference of amazing South African stylists, and these would be those women, and I give honor to them. Bev Nate, B Diamond, Mbali Soga, Sharon Baker, Mbumi Ntintilis Nkoto, Cleopatra Makopoulos. I think for me, those are the names that come up when you think about styling and the impact that it has had on our, whether it's magazines or music videos or ads. These women have worked, you know, across, I mean, from glossies such as Marie Claire, Cosmopolitan, Destiny Magazine, Bonner Magazine, True Love, Elle Magazine, and so forth, and music videos and productions. And they, when you see, when any imagery that you would see that is just encapsulated by, chances are, as one of these women. And Chloe, you know, is part of, I don't want to say newbie, because she's been in the industry for a while, but I think she is part of the generation, or this generation that is impacting and that is shaping fashion in a way that perhaps when we started, we used a different reference. She has worked and still continues to work with on fashion campaigns, and she has worked with brands like Thebe Magugu, Rich Munisi, Muson Maxwell. Thebe Magugu's work is particularly, I think, that will continue to be used as the most powerful tool of how she styles and her storytelling, and just elements that goes into it. So that's the episode. That is my conversation with Chloe. Let me know what you think. We will put her details in our notes, and you can go into her page and just have a look at some of the work that she has done and how incredible it is. And we'll put, you know, some of these ladies as well, the stylists, and some have Instagram pages, some don't, but whatever little bit that you can just, you know, see, pop in and just have a look at some of the work, or you can just Google. I think if you Google, then more of their work will come up. We'll also put their handles on our notes. And I guess, yeah, this, as I said, this show is dedicated to all the stylists who have come before us and who have shaped what we think of fashion, how we see fashion, and you know, on a daily basis, from a daily basis in terms of what people wear, to a creative level in terms of, you know, if you're a brand, how you want to position your brand. These some of the conversations that I love having, and these are some of the women behind the scenes who, you know, who do the hard work, who do the tough work, and by end of the day, they are so finished creatively and physically, and so much worth it, so much worth it. So thank you, Chloe. Thank you for tuning in. I will see you, or I will chat with you rather, on our next episode. We are slowly entering the holiday season, and at Fawura, we like doing a whole lot of lovely things like sustainable gift guides. So pop into our Fawura page and have a look at some of the gift guides that we're recommending that you can introduce or give to a loved one who, you know, who loves a green life. And I'm going to be chatting to you soon before Christmas again. So take care. Cheerio.